what does the Pelican Institute do during the offseason? As you're prepping for the upcoming legislative session, what's it look like from their perspective? How do they know what avenues they're going to travel? How do they know what issues they're going to tackle? Joining us now is Aaron Bendeley from the Pelican Institute. Aaron, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to have you on this morning. And I hope I'm not jumping the gun with the topic, because we are still a little ways out from the session, but you know, this is where the sausage gets made. So I wanted to pick your brain a little bit. What's the Pelican Institute doing right about now?
Well, you mentioned the off season. It's funny, we haven't had much of an off season this past year. The legislature has been actually very busy over the past year and a half, with several special sessions last year.
Yep.
Most recently, we had a very productive fiscal session where the legislature passed a number of measures regarding taxes in the state budget this past fall. So the big question is, where do we go from here? Certainly, we're not done, and a lot of progress was made last year, but we still have a long way to go to make our state competitive and the place where, you know, we can bring back people who have left our state. You know, we've had this problem of out-migration. We need to keep doing everything that we can to bring people back and to make this the land of opportunity, the economic powerhouse that it should be. And we think that we can do that through better public policy, common sense solutions, evidence-based things that work to really lift our people up and lift our state up. So we're looking at all of these things in a number of different areas that we can continue making progress, because it's really going to take a long-term effort. This is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Right. So we can't let up now.
Aaron Bendeley is the Senior Vice President over at the Pelican Institute. We're talking about what they're up to before the session is even close to getting started. Aaron, are y'all a little hamstrung this year? Because a lot of what's going to happen in the session is dependent upon what's going to happen on the polls in late March, as there's a constitutional amendment that's up there that can completely change the way we look at spending and cutting spending.
Well, that's certainly something that we're going to be paying close attention to. You know, we weighed in pretty heavily in that last tax session. We said it for several years. You know, we believe that we can do better when it comes to spending taxpayer money on things that really move our state forward. You know, I mentioned out-migration. We've had that year after year for several years. But at the same time, our state spending, our state budget has gone up and up. So that's not sustainable. We have to get a rein on spending and make sure that we're making better use of taxpayer dollars on critical needs like infrastructure, things that are programs that are producing good results. And at the same time, we have to look at the revenue side. You know, one of the things that has made us less competitive than other states is because we have a lot of punishing taxes, both on people, on businesses. And so we're looking forward to finally being able to talk to voters in the next couple of weeks and explain why some of these changes that they will see on their ballot, while these are important things to move our state forward. This, you know, notion of fiscal responsibility is certainly not a new one. It's one that we've got to get really serious about, because these things have real implications for families and for the businesses and the jobs that we want to attract and keep in our state.
All right, so as we talk about crafting policy and legislation that can affect the quality of life, sometimes things get lost in translation. Sometimes you see things pass in the legislative session that you don't necessarily see the one-to-one, like, because of this bill, this happened in real life. I feel like right now, in fact, last week, we were given a very good example of where we could see good legislation transfer into real life on the education front with our nation's report card, because we've had a concerted effort to improve first and foremost, reading scores in the state of Louisiana, and now it's translating towards results right here. Are y'all able to take a win like education that we're seeing, a win in progress, by the way, but a win on the educational front and say, this is how we can do A, B, and C in the Capitol and make X, Y, and Z happen in real life?
Absolutely. And really, if we can't, you've got to question why we're doing things to begin with. This is why we do the work that we do. These things have real implications for real people, and in this case, children across our state who are going to be the next generation of workers and professionals and, you know, those that are going to ensure our economic prosperity going forward. You mentioned a number of policies that the legislature has enacted over the last few governors and several legislatures. things like education choice and freedom, things like accountability, things like investing in reading that's backed in the science of how kids learn to read, things like tutoring. All of these initiatives really are based on things that have worked in other places. You know, a lot of times when we think about education and kids learning to read early on in elementary school, people have looked to the work that Mississippi has done just next door. We are implementing some of those same strategies. And in order to do that, sometimes you have to change the laws. Sometimes you have to appropriate dollars or redirect dollars to what we're using now that's not really working to something that we know could work. And so after, I would say, you know, a couple of decades of seeing others around us make progress, we have started shifting to say, why don't we do things that are proven? And why don't we at the same time make sure that we give families more of an ability to find a school that fits their kids' unique needs? By doing those things, we're starting to see results right now, and it's incredibly exciting.
So how do we, and by the way, we're talking with Senior Vice President over to the Pelican Institute for Public Policy, Aaron Bendeley is on with us. Okay, so how do we make the education results translate on an insurance front? Talking about how do we start crafting legislation there? Because number one, we know it doesn't happen overnight. Number two, we know it takes more than one session to get it done. What we saw from Dr. Brumley, from and quite honestly from y'all as well, with the backing of a lot of policy that made its way through, what we saw there was Dr. Brumley's first year on the job, he was dealing with COVID and hurricanes. And once he was able to get his feet underneath him to not be in disaster mode, that's when we really started to see, you know, some of the fruits of the labor. Tim Temple, as insurance commissioner, he's had you know, more than a year now, a little more than that, to get his feet underneath him and get his voice to get louder and louder. How do we turn that into real life legislation that turns into real life results on an insurance front?
Well, you know, I mentioned us paying attention to what works in other states in education. You can take that same strategy and apply that to insurance as well. Just yesterday, an organization very similar to ours in Florida, which is a lot like us in many ways when you think about where they are geographically, thinking about property insurance and hurricanes and wind and water, we experience a lot of the same challenges. They put out a paper yesterday that I haven't had a chance to dig into, but I'm looking forward to doing that later today, about some reforms that they have made over the past several years that have led to some relief in these areas where we are experiencing a lot of pain points right now in insurance premium and the availability of people writing insurance in our state. So again, we're going to look to what has worked in other states. We're going to look as the type of organization that we are at free market solutions that certainly, you know, help individual people in real situations in their lives and their businesses and their livelihoods. But we're also going to look at what's going to ultimately make it possible to own and keep a business in our state, because that's also a reason why we see some businesses leave, is the cost of insurance is so high. So again, we have to make sure that we are open and, you know, willing to be as bold and creative as possible to really see the results and to provide the relief that our people and our businesses need.
We got just a couple minutes left with Aaron Bendeley from the Pelican Institute. What else is going to be hot this session? What else has y'all's attention right now?
Well, we're certainly looking forward to seeing what tax-related or fiscal-related proposals might be on the table for this upcoming session. Remember, it is a fiscal session, so taxes will be the focus. Lawmakers will be able to introduce no more than 5 bills that are not related to taxes. So that's going to compress the term of the session and really focus it on fiscal issues. But at the same time, we're also hearing a lot of interest, certainly about insurance, as you said, but also regulatory reform. We continue to be a state that just has a number of regulations and restrictions on people trying to earn a living, people trying to grow their businesses. We've got to start peeling some of that back. The bureaucracy and the red tape, the fees, the regulations that are really not needed, that are doing more harm than good. We were very excited last year to partner with the governor's office and the legislature on something called universal licensing recognition to allow people coming into our state to be able to continue the profession and licensing that they had started in another state without having to start over from scratch. We're looking to do more things like that because ultimately that's going to benefit people. It's going to benefit our state. So I think regulatory reform is another area to pay attention to where we have a lot of work to do.
Did you make it up to Washington Mardi Gras this year?
I did. It was a lot of fun.
How did I not even see you? I saw Sarah up there. You mentioned regulatory. I saw Sarah up there. I saw Daniel up there. I got to meet Rachel. Where were you at?
I was there. I don't know. Apparently, we were not in the same circles, but I was kind of bummed that I missed all the snow.
Well, yeah, it was great for about half an hour, and then it's like, okay, let's get these roads open again. But I mentioned Washington Mardi Gras because a lot gets done up there in setting the agenda for the legislative session. I feel like that was kind of curtailed a little bit this year between the snow and the late arrivals. And I just, the new Trump administration, the level of attention being paid on that front kind of sucked a lot of the oxygen out of the room that would be otherwise talked about for new bills to come this way. What was your takeaway from Washington Mardi Gras this year?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, there was a lot going on. People who were there who were already tired by the time the Washington Mardi Gras festivities began because they had been there for several days for the inaugural events. And then people, getting there frustrated, having dealt with a number of flight cancellations. Some people got there late, events were canceled. But it's always a great opportunity to bump into people and just ask, hey, what's on your mind? What are you thinking for the upcoming session? What are your priorities? What are some areas where maybe we can find that we have common interest and work together? That is the most productive part of Washington Mardi Gras that I think a lot of people don't know about. Yes, it is a very good time. We, from Louisiana, we know how to have a good time, but it's also a very productive time. There are meetings on economic development, on energy, on lots of different priorities, both at the federal level and the state level. So it's always a great opportunity to say, here's a time when everyone's all together. We don't have to spend 4 hours driving to Shreveport or down to New Orleans or Lake Charles. Let's get everybody together, see what's on everyone's mind and how we can move our state forward. That's a very exciting part of that and a very productive part of what's also just, a time to kind of relax and introduce the rest of the world to the great culture we have in our state.
Yeah, somewhere between a conference and a retreat, to be sure. Hey, April 1st, Solutions Summit. Can I have the same table in the same place?
Absolutely. At the Hilton in downtown Baton Rouge, we will have our annual policy conference leading up to the legislative session. April 1st, April Fool's Day, that's when we're going to be having our summit talking about a number of these solutions to move our state forward across a number of areas.
Let's go.
Energy, healthcare, regulatory reform, fiscal issues. Please come. Please register. There's information on our website, pelicanpolicy.org.
We'll be checking in with the Pelican Institute regularly up until then as well. In the meanwhile, Aaron, I appreciate a couple minutes this morning.
Thank you.